spend a lot of time with somebody, and then you get to church and you realize, man, you really miss that person, or they're not here. You so wish they would come because this might just be a key to their hearts, or whatever the case may be. And so God just then convicted me, and because I was so thinking about a couple of individuals at a certain stage, which is not wrong, I love them, but God just challenged me, and he said to me, Retief, is my presence not enough? And I just quickly had to do the sums, and yes, obviously my heart is for people, and I spend time, and I trust that God will lead me to feed his sheep as he leads me, but primarily, why am I here? Why am I here today? It's because I just want to constantly connect with him. What am I going to do for eternity? What are you going to do for eternity? It's going to spend time in his presence. And that's just what I was so convicted about that at that moment, is that, yes, there's a lot of secondary things. There's a lot of secondary things in church life and Christian life. But firstly and foremostly, it's just to connect with the Lord. That's just on the side. It's great to be here today and just to share what God has laid on my heart. Now, I've spoken a couple of weeks, or mentioned this a couple of times for the last couple of weeks, is that I really believe it's a season of change. Now, obviously, you can be a bit influenced by springtime, because that is usually just quite naturally a time of change, a time of spring cleaning. But I do believe that God is, in this time, just bringing forth change in hearts, change in people. And we really need to trust him that you know what God is doing in your season and of your life at this moment. Now, with change, sometimes I love change. I'm excited. I like a challenge. I honestly do most of the times like a fair bit of change. But sometimes change is just merely God coming in and taking stock and cleaning up. Now, at intercession a couple of weeks back and as well, the word cleansing has come forth a couple of times. So if you're sitting here or you're feeling in this time of your life, in your Christianity, it feels a bit uncomfortable because God is so busy. Let him do what he's doing. Let him do what he's doing, because I believe it's a season of cleansing. I believe God is taking out the dead branches. Trish shared a prophetic word, I think about a month or 2 months back. And I believe it's so prevalent at this stage that God is really pruning us as well. So these are just the two things. This is very general. But guys, know in the Spirit there's seasons as well. This is maybe a season of change. So just keep your ears out and listen to what God is saying. And then also, God is busy with the cleansing work. He's busy touching his people. And he's busy with the cleansing work. Why is that? So that we can merely bear fruit alone? Thank you, guys. Is it merely to bear fruit alone? No, I believe it's more that we can also see God. That we can also experience him. And then we can walk with him, because that was his heart from the beginning. I'm going to quickly pray for us. And then we're going to share something that God laid on my heart. Lord, I thank you that you'll grant us grace to hear what you are saying today, Lord. Not only early in worship, but also through your word. Thank you, Lord, that our faith will not be based on my words, but your Holy Spirit and power. We just lift up our hearts and we just say, God, speak into our hearts. Plant your seeds, have your way. And grant us wisdom like never before this morning. Grant us wisdom like never before this morning. In Jesus' name. We just thank you for that. Amen. Now, at the beginning, first Sunday of the year, God said to us, in no uncertain terms, seek first. Now, that kind of ringed in a couple of our hearts, and we realized, okay, well, this is what God is saying to us. Seek first. We'll get to the scripture right now. But just before we dig deeper into that, I made it hashtag seek first, and I thought, oh, that's quite cool. Put it on Facebook, quote it when I WhatsApp, put it on my email, so that we just keep it in front of us the whole time. But we can take seek first as being this bit of a church gimmick, bit of a church marketing type of thing, nice slogan for the year, a feel-good tap on the back. Or we can go and say, hey, guess what? Maybe this seek first hashtag thingy is actually the word of God. It is actually what God is saying to us. Now, hear my heart in this. It's not a condemning thing either, but it's not to just merely peruse over the things that God say to us, but sometimes just taking it and taking it to heart. So if I say to you in a couple of years' time, you remember that season we were in where God said, seek first? What happened? And I actually don't have a clue. It was quite cool. Enjoyed it. Retief mentioned it really too much. But I can't really say that anything in my life really changed. What am I getting to? I'm just saying God gives us a word sometimes, and it is our responsibility to take it to heart. And my challenge to you in love today is just, hey guys, let's not go through this year thinking that it's a bit of a catchphrase, bit of a marketing catch, bit of a churchy thing to do. Let's ask God and say, Lord, how am I supposed to do this? What am I supposed to do? Please show me. Help me to take it to heart. So we're going to do a bit of a Seek First series. I'm just going to step through a couple of keys. Mihan doesn't know it, but I really have in my heart that there's a particular key that I believe he's got authority on that I want him to share with us. Where in life we should seek God first, and how should we go about it? The scripture there on the board is, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you. Now, what is the context there? The context is Matthew 6, where it says, the cure for anxiety. If I had a pill in my pocket, and I said, hey guys, guess what? This is new on the market. Pastors don't get to pay too much, so I'm just doing a bit of a side business. That's not the truth, by the way. That's just part of my explanation. And I've got this pill. It's called the cure anxiety pill. Who of you will not come and queue up afterwards to say, hey, I'd love the pill for anxiety? I'll be honest. Who would like that pill? Two pakkies for you? Three? Enigie for you? Half? Can we do half a dosage, Jenny, do you think? The bottom line is that if we had a pull to say this is the cure for anxiety, we would line up. The generations or the culture, the people out there, the community will line up to buy this pull. Hopefully I'll stay a pastor in my rocketing business of selling the cure for anxiety pull. Bottom line is this is the context here. He says the following. It's not on the board, but listen quickly. So don't worry saying what will we eat, what will we drink, or what will we wear. How often do we in our culture just have these basic thoughts? What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? For the idolaters eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you. In other words, he says, all about life, if not lived for God, goes around the mere fact of working, providing, looking out for yourself. Roof over your head, food to eat, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? Basics. That's just, and that's also, unfortunately, the things that we get anxious about. Who thinks of December and the extra expenses and not get a bit of a knop in the keel or whatever you call it in English? He says, no, guys. I've got the cure. I've got the answer. I've got wisdom for you. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's the context, but I believe God wants us to take that and roll it out in all of the areas of our life. Take relationship. Obviously, take finances. Take your time. Take your calling, your vision, the things that you aspire to with God, and let's seek first. What is the kingdom? Just quickly, the kingdom is, I believe, and so I've heard, the kingdom is where the king's will be done. That's just very easy. The kingdom is where the king's domain is, where he rules. Where in a situation, an area, a geographic area, he is the most high. In worship this morning, I believe the kingdom came. Why? I believe God's will was done. In our imperfection and our humanity, by the grace and the blood of Christ, God's kingdom came. Hopefully through the message, mostly of it, what? God's kingdom will come. Why? God's word gets preached. God's word gets shared. So the kingdom comes where God's will be done. Now you can quickly think through your week. Where does the kingdom come? Just quickly think. Just think on Monday morning, Monday afternoon, Monday night. Just think Saturday, think Saturday night. Just think how many times does the kingdom come or does the kingdom not come in your life? It's not a massive thing. Don't get condemned if the kingdom didn't come 24/7. It does happen to most of us. But the kingdom will come where God's will is done. But he said, if we seek first his kingdom, his will to be done, the rest of the things in this life will be added unto us. Can I get an amen for that? Do you believe that? Amen. So now the key, the seek first key that God laid on my heart this week when I prayed about what He wants to share is wisdom. Who of you has wisdom? Yes. My wife's hand up first. Now you know. Amen. Now she gives me the religious answer. Amen. Now you know, guys. It's not always that easy. Cool quote that I read there. Oh, you guys have already read there. It requires wisdom to understand wisdom. The music is nothing if the audience is deaf. It's kind of a bit of a hard one. But today I don't have that one of those feel-good topics fun. Yes, we're going to do it type of things. It's wisdom. It's not maybe a word that you hear that often. It's not one that the prosperity gospel preachers maybe rolls out for a couple of months. Wisdom is maybe not even that amazing, unless you've got some acquired taste in our cultures. Wisdom is not a word that is flung around on Facebook. It's not something on the social media. Oh, well, my friend, that is really wise. Here's a selfie with me. Pretty wise selfie with Table Mountain and nice cappuccino. No, it's something that's maybe sometimes on the back burner. The word called wisdom. But this morning we read there, you need a little bit of wisdom, I believe, to understand wisdom. So, God, thank you through your Holy Spirit. Everybody here, all of us, will get a better grasp of wisdom today by the wisdom that you've given and granted to us already. Amen. I just really trust that we don't miss what God is saying. Now, getting back to what I was saying earlier, is that what is the importance of wisdom in your life? Just quickly, maybe by hands, by answer. How important is wisdom in your life? Very important, great, very. How do you go about it? Do you get up on a Monday morning and think, get on the scale and think, man, I need wisdom? Or how do you go about that? How do you decide, man, I really want to conquer something, I really want some wisdom in this particular area. How do you guys go about it? There's no particular specific answer. But read Proverbs. Yeah, read Proverbs is a good thing. That by the way, read Proverbs and take in your spielkey. That's a good one. Anything else? What do you guys do to grow in wisdom? Ask God. Yes. Fellowship with wise people. My wife does that quite a lot. That was a joke. Do I have to explain that? Sorry, it's a crappy. Yes, sir. Sorry? Prayer. Yes, 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 yes. A lot of prayer. Why do I have a hunger for wisdom? In short, I'm not going to go into these. The reason I have a massive hunger personally for wisdom is because I know what a life without wisdom looks like. I know what an utter, dismal, hurtful, shameful pit of hell a life without wisdom feels like. Because I've tasted it. I had a bit of wisdom of the world. I had a lot of pride. And I thought I knew how things worked. I'm not saying today, oh, hey guys, I'm this guru now. But I do have a fair bit more wisdom than I had before I knew Christ. The only reason why I know how much it means is because I know how hurtful it is without it. And it's out of that place that I can share this message with you this morning. If there's one prayer that I've constantly prayed after I got saved, it's what David said. God, teach me your ways so that I can live by your truth. Man, I've tried it my way. I've tried it the world's way. And it hurt as hell. And it left scars and burns and bruises. You name it. So I came to that place where I said, God, please teach me your ways so that I can live by your truth. And praise God, He has done that. Do you only use wisdom for the big decisions in your life or everyday things? Everyday things. Okay, cool. If I switch, compared to comfort, money, power, security, information, data, understanding, a nice sale at Woolies, Rembrandt shares, compared to a Monet painting or jewels or maybe a cheap trip to Spain, I know my wife would love that, compared to all of those things that we can so eagerly try to obtain, how eagerly do we obtain wisdom? Jy moet nie my antwoord nie klaar blyklik kry hier, jy goed is reg. I'm just saying, in our culture, we just need to be so careful of where and for what we are constantly striving for, what we're aiming for, and what we want to obtain. But apparently, you guys do not have a problem, so we might as well just end here. The word says, okay, great, there's two people that actually want to hear the rest of it. How much better, you can go back, thanks. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver? Now to the next one. This is quite a long piece of scripture, but I added this morning because I believe it might speak to some of our hearts. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. Amplified said, happy, blessed, considered fortunate, to be admired is the man who finds skillful and godly wisdom. Considered fortunate. In our culture, who's considered fortunate? The man of wisdom? The man of wealth. Okay, yeah, amongst other. One of power. One of influence. One of esteem. One of position. Yet the word of God says happy, fortunate, or then considered fortunate, to be admired is the man who finds wisdom. And the man who gains understanding and insight, learning from God's word and life's experiences. Remember those ones. Understanding and insight. Learning from what? God's word and life's experiences. For wisdom's profit is better than profit of silver, and her gain is better than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and nothing you can wish for compares with her in value. Long life is in her right hand. Remember this, by the way, just for later on. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Riches and honor. I do with some of that. Long life in her right hand. In her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are highways of pleasantness and favor, and all her paths are peace. Does it sound like your life? Not yet. But there's hope. But it sounds quite kind of good. It sounds kind of good. Ralph, would you like some of that? Okay, cool. Me too. What's the definition of wisdom? This is just out of the dictionary. It's not a biblical one. We're obviously today looking at a biblical or godly definition of wisdom. But let's just to get our heads around it, just look at what wisdom is. We can go to the next one. Thank you. Wisdom is the following. Knowledge that is gained by having many experiences in life. Many experiences in life. The natural ability. Remember, this is a dictionary. It's not out of the Bible. So please don't, if you go and have a lot of stupid experiences, come to me and say, but Retief, don't you remember the definition of wisdom? No, I don't. The natural ability to understand things that most other people cannot understand. Isn't that what we constantly do in life? I want to get my head around things. I want to understand. I want to understand life. I want to understand this thing. I want to understand who I am and what my purpose here is. It's all part of wisdom. Knowledge of what is proper or reasonable. Good sense of judgment. Who likes a good sense of judgment? Goes well with a good sense of humor. Yes, I know. Elsewhere. Not speaking of myself, by the way. That wasn't the bedoeling. Elsewhere it says, and I like this, it's also in one of the dictionaries I Google. The ability to discern or judge what is true, right, or lasting. We can so easily get ensnared with stuff that is not true, right, or lasting. Are you busy with things that are true? Things that are right? Things that are lasting? And remember, let's just quickly push the pause button. Guys, this is not a sermon. This is not a message. The heart of this is not about what you should go and do out now. What you should go and perform now. I need to be more wise. Jy kan hoe hard druk, maar jy gaan nie wyser word. We're going to look at the answers just now. So if you're not that wise all the time, take heart. God's going to give us the answer today. Wisdom, I believe, is not natural. It's supernatural. There is a wisdom of this world. I'll show you the difference just now. But true wisdom is something that is supernatural. Simply put for me, wisdom is the right decision, the correct interpretation, the correct perspective in any given set of facts or circumstances. Whatever you face, wherever you're in, with all the variables put on the table, true wisdom will be the right decision taken in that moment, the correct interpretation of what is going on here. You can think of your life, you can think of business, you can think of your children, you can think of church, you can think of this moment and apply this, the correct perspective in any given set of facts or circumstances, because I believe it's God's perspective, God's will, God's decision. Why do we tap in for wisdom? It's because we say, I don't know. At the heart of wisdom lies humility. That's just the bottom line. You cannot have true wisdom without humility. You cannot have true wisdom without, like we saw in that song this morning, bowing your knee. Try it. You're going to try it. You can fake it, but you're not going to make it because it's unwontlich. It's absolutely impossible to have true wisdom without humility. Wisdom is God's perspective, God's insight, and God's will. What is knowledge? Anybody, just a quick definition of knowledge. So we've spoken about wisdom. What is knowledge? Because there's a difference. I kind of like that. Natasha says, in Afrikaans, it's boekkennis. That's book knowledge. Knowledge is book knowledge. You see? But it's I kind of understand that. What do you say is knowledge is? Facts. Yes, facts that you've obtained over time. It can include experiences. Information, a lot of information. So in other words, I can have a lot of knowledge about a car. In fact, I can have a very nice fast car. I can have knowledge about the clutch, the brake pedal, and the petrol. The koppelaar, the petrol pedal. I can have a lot of knowledge about how this thing works, but the bottom line is if I don't have the wisdom to know when to use the brake, I will lose my life. I can have amazing knowledge of this vehicle. I can know my Golf GTI front to back. I can have actually read the manual, or my girlfriend could have helped me read the manual. But if I don't have the wisdom to know when to brake, I will lose my nose. So knowledge is great. I'm not speaking against knowledge. I'm not speaking against studying and obtaining a lot of facts. But just remember, let's just remember ourselves that in Jesus' time, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they had a lot of knowledge. They had a lot of facts, even of the Word of God at that time. They had a lot of knowledge, but they didn't have the wisdom to discern how to use that knowledge or where to apply that knowledge. So we need to be careful in our Christian life, but in all of life. Information is just defined as information gained, obtained through experience, reasoning, or acquaintances, learning or studying. I believe wisdom, listen carefully, wisdom is knowledge correctly or rightly applied. Wisdom is knowledge correctly or rightly applied. And that's actually what all of us, we're not called, we're not geroep om nie te dink nie, of nie te leer nie. No, we're definitely called to do so. But we're called to use what we do learn, what we do take in, to use it wisely and accurately in time. So to Frida, I would say the following. Wisdom is to know what is the right thing to do, my child. It is to know what to think. Man, people don't want to hear that in this modern day culture. How can you tell me what to think? Well, I've tried to, my life, when I was just thinking on my own, and I totally screwed it up. So now I'd rather just choose God to think for me. I know that probably offends the flesh. I don't know, can I ask who's offended? No, because that offends our flesh. That offends us in our culture. That offends the human rights and the way in which we, the narcissistic way in which we sometimes are put together or just broken together. It just offends the flesh. But somehow, God gives us the opportunity to have a free will. He says, by all means, I don't want a robot. You kiss for yourself. Choose for yourself. Make your own wise decisions. But if it fails, I'm always here to pick up. I'm always here to help. I'm that father, that good, perfect father that will always help out. Give wisdom if you should ask me. Quickly to wrap that part up, a decision based on my knowledge is limited to my knowledge. A decision that I base on my knowledge, my own knowledge, as Retief, 34 years old, with all the bells and whistles to it, A decision I base on my mere knowledge is based on my knowledge. A decision based on worldly wisdom, that is a wisdom that is not divine, not of God, one of an academic or a learned colleague. A decision based on worldly wisdom is limited to what? Worldly knowledge. And then lastly, I believe, a decision based on true wisdom is dependent upon God's knowledge. Now, it's very easy. We've got a set of facts. I'm the decision maker. Here's the set of facts. I can decide upon my knowledge of the subject, my knowledge of the problem, my knowledge of the future. Make a decision. Burn my fingers. Or I can say, no, don't like this God idea. It just totally offends me. By all means, I should decide. I should Google around. I should read around. Listen to experts. Get some knowledge from them. And then we make a decision based on human knowledge. And then lastly, I can just sit back. I can humble myself. And I say, God, I don't actually know, but you're truly the one that put everything together. You're the one that gave your son for me. You're the one that actually loves me and cares for my future, not even a temporary one, but a permanent one. Can I base my decision upon your knowledge, please? Can you help me out? And you'll most certainly do so. What is the origin of true wisdom? We've said that again. It's God Himself. In 1 Kings 3, it's not on the board. 1 Kings 3, I just love it. It's a scripture that God gave to me a long time ago. Solomon has a dream. Apologies. Solomon has a dream, and in the dream, God says to me, ask for me what you want. This is not verbatim. This is obviously my words. He said, ask of me what you want of me. Now, just imagine you get to God, you rock up. If you should come and say, vraag my net wat jy wil. Jy hoef nie nou te antwoord nie. Jy kan. But ask me whatever you want. Just ask me. What did he ask for? He asked for wisdom, understanding heart. And the best of it is that because God so loved his answer that he asked for wisdom, God said, I'll give you wisdom, I'll give you an understanding heart, and I'll give you riches, honor, and a long life. I'll just throw that in there because you were wise. How beautifully that correlates for me just with Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest shall be added unto you. He just, in a dream, by God, by grace, he just decided, yes, I actually need wisdom. He asked for wisdom, and God said, well, as a package deal, you're lucky today, I'll throw in honor, wisdom, and a long life. Remember in Proverbs, that scripture we read earlier, wisdom in her right hand was what? A long life, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Boom, again. Guys, there is truly so much worth in asking God and really obtaining true wisdom from Him. He is the giver of wisdom. This is what we're going to pray at the end. But there you see it. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. How awesome is that? You do not have to get a degree. You do not have to study for years and years and years on end. And I do respect the academic and academics that does study a lot. But in the things of life, God says, hey man, I'm a father, just come and ask. If you need wisdom, just come and ask. Is that a once-off? No, it's daily. It's the whole time. Next scripture. For the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. And guys, this truth is offensive to the flesh. It is offensive to the culture out there. I love the culture out there. But once part of it entirely without the Spirit of God, without salvation, I was blinded for the fact that I needed this wisdom, the one that is divine, the one that only God can give. Next scripture, James 3:17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. So it's not defiled with lust or mammon or your own agenda. It's something that will be good to you and only good for you. It is of eternal value and not of temporary value. Sometimes we'd like a quick fix wisdom that will just ease the pain, just ease me now. Just sort me out now. But God gives a wisdom that's always eternal. First of all, pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. It's an objective, true wisdom. True source of godly wisdom? God himself, obviously. Next slide, thank you. What is the wrong source? Scripture again tells us, what is the wrong source of wisdom? Who of you have ever obtained wisdom that was not a wisdom of God? Which technically cannot be defined as wisdom. But we all have. We constantly make decisions based upon a wisdom that's not of God, and that's just part of the fallenness of humanity. But praise God, he's helping us through that. He's taking us out that duetaka, the dead stuff. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. That's pretty hardcore. Now you understand why he calls us to a childlikeness. Who likes all of this, by the way? Honestly? Good. Well, sometimes it challenges me. Most of the times, in fact. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. The thoughts of the wild, the thoughts of the wise in this world is futile. It's futility to God. His perspective is just better. Be careful of the wrong sources. Seek first the true origin and source of wisdom, God himself. Now, I just want to step into another area, another leg of wisdom, and I believe these are called, for me, it's not an exact science, it's not a closed list at all, but it's just the essentials of wisdom. Wisdom, as we said, is information that we obtain, that we receive, upon which we base our decisions. And we all need it, we all constantly do it. But what is the essentials of wisdom? And there you have it. The fear of the Lord is the first one. Who's ever heard of the fear of the Lord? How cool is it that Johan came and gave a prophetic word about reverence this morning? And what did you say was the fruit again of reverence?
Okay, read it this morning. That's why I can quote it. Now it says in Psalm 25, this is now the Living Translation, it says, the man who reverences the Lord, the following will be true in his life. He will live in the circle of God's blessing. His children will inherit the earth. He will be called a friend of God. He will have friendship with God. And only to him will God reveal the secrets of his promises.
Just remember that. That is coupled with reverence for God. Now, if you go out there and say to a man on the street, fear God, without lovingly explaining to him what it is, firstly, you should be slapped. But secondly, he will not know what the heck are you talking about. Fear of God. You say it's a good father. He loves you. Abba, Father. And now fear. Obviously, you all have heard, and I'm not going to spend too much time on it. I'll explain it right now. It's not a fear, anxious fear as we know it. It's a reverence. It's an awe. It's a respect. It is to know that he is God and I am man. To know that he is God and I'm truly just man. What reverence is, what the spirit of the fear of the Lord does, I believe it just gives the true perspective. It just, when you sit at the optometrist, and he goes, Abia, Ientwe, 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 and you go through that until you have a clear vision, as close as possible to 2020, after you've gone through everything and look at this circle, and this light and that light, all sorted out. That perspective, spiritually speaking, is one that knows that, sure, God is a holy God. Yes, he's a loving father, but he's a holy God. He is a consuming fire. He's loving, he's caring, he's close and intimate, but yet he's also one to fear, to have reverence for, to have an awe for, to know that he is still God. Sometimes we maybe lose that in our hearts, we lose that in our thoughts, and definitely, unfortunately, in our culture and lifestyle. Who do you take advice from? Dirk, who do you take advice from except your wife? Sorry, just anybody else? He's just joking. No, the topic for Men's Monday. Anybody else, where do you take advice from? Google, yeah, a fair amount. Where else do you take advice from? From whom? person, a person, what person would you take advice from? A pastoor. Jy is net te nice. Thank you, Annelies. You don't have to make me coffee off the joke. Thank you, but hopefully, yes. Sometimes, yeah, we need to be careful. Test it always. A good friend. Yes, a good friend. There's safety in the counsel of many friends, as long as they are friends, not Judas. People who bear fruit. Yes, who do you take counsel from? The person that you trust. Now, well, the fear of the Lord, if I can quickly explain in my own words, is just like that. It's the one whose opinion I'll trust. It's a friend. It's one who's close and not far. If some random oak on Facebook posts this weird message or video clip about finances, I'm not just going to gobble it up just because it's on Facebook. If I don't know the person, I don't know the timing, I don't know when it was made, and who he is and what the fruit is, and in fact how his finances are looking at the moment. If I don't know him, if I don't trust him, if I don't respect a person, I'm not going to listen. Sometimes, unfortunately, some dads maybe in the past have said, well, you will listen to me because I am your father. And you can try to push down that position, but that does not open up a heart. I could say, well, Lindy, luister vir my, want ek is 'n pastoor. You're like, no. Okay, cool, brush that over. Cheers. Waar is die ander kerk? It's just much easier. But when we become close, when she sees there's one or two fruits, or she can kind of trust and she actually knows my faults as well. If somebody is honest and I get to know their faults, I'll actually listen from them as well. But there's relationship. And that's the same with the fear of the Lord. Let's go to Scripture. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The next one, the same. Psalm 111:10. It's just beautiful. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding of all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Guys, just quickly, this is a bit of a secret. Nobody knows this. But if you really want wisdom in this life, if you really want wisdom in this life, the beginning, the starting place, the starting point for that is the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Nothing else. The starting point for true wisdom in life, for you, for your spouse, for your children, for those you influence, for your business, true wisdom can only be found from a place, from the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Nothing else. That's a secret. Don't share it with other people. It's just our secret. But there's no other way. The reverent fear of the Lord is the beginning, the prerequisite. I love that in the Amplified. The prerequisite, the absolute essential, the alphabet of wisdom. A good understanding and a teachable heart, and so on and so forth. We said to each other, firstly, the fear of the Lord is not to run away, not to hide. Nie om bang te wees vir God nie. It is one where you've got an awe. You've got a reverence. Your eyes, the eyes of your understanding, your heart have opened to such a degree that you can actually think, well, wow, I realize He is God. It's positive. The fear of God is an attitude of respect, a response of reverence and wonder. It is the only appropriate response to our Creator and Redeemer. You actually care and what He thinks and who He is. And His opinion to you is important. Guys, and this is the beauty, but this is also a very sensitive place. I cannot make anybody have the fear of the Lord. Religion would love to do that. Outside forces, outside models, outside agendas, outside formulas, church formulas, religious formulas, ways of doing things, can try to push you into an area of fearing God. But nothing can bring that except if it's out of your heart. True fear of God can only be born out of the inside. Ek kan raas in iemand se ore. Ek kan preek en preek en preek. Ek kan praat en praat en praat. You can go on for years and years and years. It's something that God, by His grace, just comes, if you let Him, and He just unlocks the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Sometimes it comes with tough tough situations or seasons in your life, like in mine, where I just realized I came to my natural end. Henceforth, I need a supernatural ability and help from God to go on with life. And then God just granted me the grace. And I need to grow in this daily, to have the spirit of the fear of the Lord, to have the right perspective, to have Him in His true position and me in my true position in this bigger scheme, this thing called life. Hebrews 12, 28 to 29 is a good description of this. You can go to the next slide. Thank you. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, a kingdom that cannot be shaken, that's what we want. We constantly, we're on troubled waters, which is murky grounds, troubled waters in this life. We want something that's solid. Yes, I can trust this. I said to Edna the other day, God has taken me through a season where everything I thought I was trusting, and it's not talking about any of you or her, but everything I had a bit of trust in that was not 100% Him is like falling at the moment. Which is good, because then I come back to bedrock. I come back to the real thing, the only thing I can trust. That is just what we all, these babies, these beautiful babies that God has given, they just constantly want a place of trust and safety, solidness. Anyway, don't know where that came from, but thought it'd be good to share. Let us be thankful and so worship God, acceptable with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. With reverence and awe, let's worship Him with reverence and awe. The fear of God is in respecting Him, obeying Him, submitting to His discipline, and worshiping Him in awe. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. So the spirit of the fear of the Lord. It sounds fearful, but it's not. And it's something, again, I cannot say this more loudly, more clearly. I don't believe it's something from the outside. It's something that you need to trust. Obviously, you hear it. It goes down. But once, by God's grace, He opens that up, that it becomes a spiritual reality to you, the rest will make sense. First essential to wisdom for us is the fear of the Lord. The second essential for wisdom in our lives is Jesus. Why do I say this? Jesus is not only the foundation or the road of wisdom. You see that. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Guys, you cannot have wisdom in life if you don't know the words of Jesus. I'm not saying you know them verbatim, every single one of them. But if somebody tells me I'm a Christian, I'm kind of wise, and they only go to concerts, and they only go to seminars, and they buy CDs and booklets, but never read the Bible and pray, then with all due respect, I would question your wisdom. Be careful. I'm speaking to myself firstly and foremostly. The Word of God. You need to make the Word of God, Christ, Logos Christ, your own. Secondly, Jesus is wisdom of God to us. I love that. It is because, 1 Corinthians 1:3 says, it is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. Who has become, listen, if you've nodded off or thinking about rugby or lunch, just come back for a moment. You can go off just now again. Who has become for us wisdom from God. Christ has become for us wisdom of God. Christ has become for us wisdom of God. Who's the devil? The anti-Christ. What does the devil do? I believe he's anti-wisdom. He will always be anti-true wisdom. What will the wisdom of this world be? Anti-godly wisdom. Sorry, that was a bit loud, but I really sense something in the spirit shifting. It's not rocket science, but God help us. What tree are we going to eat off? I think we've got a couple of minutes. I just felt this morning, I want to read the context of that 1 Corinthians 1:3, 1:30. So don't nod off again. Just stay that we can finish that. Go to the next slide, please. I just want to read that quickly with you. Listen up. For the foolishness of God, the foolishness, there is no such thing, but if there were foolishness of God, so in other words, the little wisdom of God, something that is of little wisdom in God's mind, is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. So obviously God just puts perspective. He's not a bully. He just says, hey guys, if you've got true perspective, you'll see things right. He's not wanting to bully. He doesn't have an ego problem. Hy's nie masochisties nie. Hy het nie anger issues nie. Hy's nie micromanager nie. Hy's net soos this is how it is. So once you get on my page, you'll just have true wisdom. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many of noble birth. Now, if you think of the ones that he chose as disciples, being fishermen, and thinking that God might choose you for a specific job, and he's chosen me for a specific job, he just cuts me to size here. Thinking, Retief, do you enjoy what you're doing? Yes, I love it. But guess what? Just remember, you weren't that cool in the first place. It's by his coolness and his grace that it can happen. So it's a good thing, just a good leveler for whomever has ears to hear. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolishness in the world to shame the wise. And how many times God does that? He chooses what is foolishness in this world to despise the wise. He calls little David. Hy moet kosblikkies aandraaf sy boeties. Hallo julle Jesus, julle is julle samies. And then God speaks to him. None of the guys in the war can take on Goliath. But he takes this little skaapwagtertjie and he says, yes, yay. And he goes and he slays Goliath. And God does this. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. Go to the next one. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. God just constantly takes out our pride. That's just what he does. He's just lovingly saying, as soon as you build up something, as soon as you become prideful about something and something you've attained or done, I just come with something weaker and I just blow it out of the water. You think that's amazing? Poof, I just squash that. Not because I'm a bully, but I just want you to have perspective. Why am I doing all of this? Because I love you. Why do I love you? Because I want to spend eternity with you. Ek bou hierdie amazing sandkasteel. Dis hierdie massive. It's this amazing sandcastle that I've built, and it's so amazing. And I'm going to live in it forever. And God says, no, man. He blows it off. He just comes with a little wave, and he just washes it away so that I can just have true perspective, so that I can have eternal life and focus my eyes on what is eternal, not to build a stupid sandcastle. I hope that was for somebody. Otherwise, I just wasted your time. So that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Essentials, we're busy with wisdom. We're busy with the essentials of wisdom. We said it's the spirit of the fear of the Lord, something that God grants us by his grace. We said it's Jesus, wisdom to us himself. Get into the word, know what he says. And the third leg, or the third thing, the essential for wisdom is the Holy Spirit. The spirit that will lead you into all of the truth. Do you need truth? Do you need wisdom? Just ask, Holy Spirit, lead me, help me. But wait until he answers. Isaiah 11:2 speaks of the anointing, the Holy Spirit upon Jesus. Just to confirm out of Scripture, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him as it rests on you, being a believer. A spirit of wisdom. Say, spirit of wisdom. If you are a believer, if you believe in Christ and have received the Holy Spirit, you also have the, say it again, spirit of wisdom. Sorry, that's not to be patronizing to you at all, but it's just to realize, hey man, I have the spirit of wisdom. Whatever I face and will face, I have the spirit of wisdom with me. You just need to ask. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and strength, or might, some translation says. A spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. All just taken together. That spirit rested, the Holy Spirit rested on Christ, and as we received Christ and the Spirit was again given to God's people, it rests now on us. All of those amazing things. Who's going to help you to fear the Lord? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can, you can just say, I know God, I believe in him, but this thing of having an awe and thinking he's amazing, or this reverence for him, I don't have that. I lack that. Holy Spirit, help me. He just might one day just lead you into a burning bush encounter with God, and you might just either drop dead or just walk away there with the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And then we won't be able to stop you. You'll be so on fire, you'll get the nations in quickly. If you see who God truly is. If you really get hold of the spirit of the fear of the Lord, or he gets hold of you. Anyway, I'm enjoying this, but I guess we need to try to wrap it up. That'll be the wise thing to do. If I want to see you guys in 2 weeks' time. Joking, I'm moving in the spirit of the fear of the Lord, not the spirit of the fear of man. But I do love you, so I will end. Be wise, guys. Seek first. What is the first? Seek first key, I believe God says to us. He says to us, be a wise people. Gather information, have knowledge, yes, but don't waste your time. I'm not even getting into the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life, and you can spend hours of sermons on that. But eat from the right tree. Eat from Christ. Ask the right spirit. Fear God. Have wisdom. Not only when you buy a property or when you're going to get married or when you need a new car. Ask him for wisdom in the little things, and you'll be acquainted with the way he speaks and leads you so that you can walk in constant wisdom. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. With humility comes wisdom. With humility comes wisdom. Do not deceive yourselves if any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age. In other words, the world, other people, peers. And you should become fools so that you may become wise. I'm going to repeat that because I need to get it again. Do not deceive yourselves. I said, wees versigtig. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age or this world, you should become fools so that you may become wise. Become empty of the wisdom of this world. The ways in which we operate and do things. What should we eat? What should we drink? What should we wear? Become empty of these things. Become a fool to these things. God, help me. Help me firstly. Become a fool to the things in the wisdom of this world. So that we can become eternally wise. A knowledgeable decision has a temporary fruit. A wise decision have eternal fruit. I want us, our children, to bear eternal fruit and to enjoy the fruit of eternity. Let's be wise when we stand with God. God, as we said, this is a time there might be change in certain people's lives. It's also a time of cleansing or pruning. Hence, it's a time to be wise, and it's a time where God brings wisdom to our hearts. But firstly and foremostly, we need to maybe just settle the matter of the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Just having a reverence, an awe, a godly respect, and just to realize again who He is. So my challenge, and I'm going to pray, Lord, thank you that you, just by your spirit, come and help and show us and lead us into these things now, in Jesus' name. And just with all eyes closed, if you just want to have a connection, a moment with Scripture, with God, with His Spirit, just to have the fullness of the fear of God in your life, just to have the right perspective, do you want to raise your hand and we can just pray together corporately? Amen. You say, Lord, I really want the fullness of the fear of the Lord. I just want the fullness of that in my life. Amen. Lord, I thank you for these hands. And we just come humbly, Lord. What you need is, I believe, just a surrendered heart and humility. And that's all we can give. Is we can come and bow our knees and say, Lord, we want the fullness of the spirit of the fear of the Lord. One that has a reverence for you. One that is close, not far. Scared, not as for the dark, but a respect, a reverence, and an awe for what you have for an amazing, strong, perfect Father. We pray for that in these lives that commits it to you now. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will walk it out and that you will help us with that in this time. In Jesus' name. And then very easily, if you need wisdom and if you want wisdom in all areas of your life, What does the word says? We just go back to scripture. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So Lord, we just come and we just stand boldly upon scripture this morning. And we just say, give a moment. Guys, hands up. Do you want wisdom? Maybe in your own words aloud. Just ask God. In your own words, take your time. In your own words, just go to God. Connect with Him and ask Him in every area for wisdom in your life. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Scripture says, and it will be given to you. So for those that have asked, I declare over your lives, I declare over your families. Those that are even not here and asking it later on, I declare over us as a church family, wisdom will be given to us by God. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen, guys. Thank you for an awesome service.